I would like then promptly to move to uncontested items. Mr. Robertson?
Okay. So presently on the agenda, we have two items. However, it's my understanding that one of the items, item number 7, will come off the is that correct? Yes. Item number 7 will come off the uncontested calendar. So we are left with item 8. Item 8 is it's a waiver of waste discharge requirements for disaster-related waste.
I'd like to pull it. Mr. Chair, if I could, I have questions for staff on number 8.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. So, so what we can do then now is to take this item, since this is the only item, correct? Okay, we're going to take this item out of uncontested item.
Right, and so we can then hear questions on that.
We can field questions. Mr. Young, please proceed with your question.
Thank you very much.
7 was pulled off.
Okay, I thought we were pulling 8 as well. So wouldn't we take them in, take them in order?
Seven taken off the agenda altogether, or is
that's my understanding.
It's been taken off the agenda.
Yeah.
Oh, it's been taken.
Yeah.
Oh, my error. Sorry.
So, Mr. Robertson, to be clear, 7 is being taken out of today's agenda. Is that my interpretation?
We are not clear. We're determining that right now. While we make that determination, let's go with 8's questions.
Okay.
And then we'll come back with respect to number 7, whether we're taking it off the agenda entirely or if it's something that we can deal with today.
Okay.
Okay.
Very good. So, Mr. Young?
Okay. So I could just pose my questions to staff on number 8. Because I've read the staff report. So it looks to me that this is really an effort to formalize a permit for activities that have been ongoing when we've had disasters. But I'm curious about what kind of impacts we've had from these disasters on water quality. So when we have fires and we've got flame retardants being used, and we have a lot of debris, you know, that develops from what happens. What has been the ultimate fate of these pollutants?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, my name is Martin Fletcher, staff engineer. And regarding debris that is cleaned up, that the fate is that it gets transported to an appropriate facility. With regards to debris that is left in place, that is something that is kind of not addressed through the formal waste disposal type operations. And so usually we give advice. We have staff participate, such as in the T-fire, for example. Dan Niles in our office was down for a week participating with the incident commander and the assessment team to point out issues to try to address and make sure waste was disposed of and collected and protected in a manner to protect water quality. I do not believe we have made an effort to address things like flame retardant that is widely spread to try to combat a fire.
Does flame retardant have an effect on water quality?
I could not answer that question per se. We do require that any waste from buildings that is collected to be disposed is characterized appropriately. This waiver does not allow hazardous waste to go to non-hazardous landfills.
Mm-hmm.
Hazardous waste would still have to be collected and sent to the appropriate facility.
So this is just an effort to formalize a permit so that dischargers are going to know in advance what they can and can't do
it's
in terms of disposal of what they've had to deal with for many, many years.
Yes, it's a priority to try to, when we send staff, if staff do get involved, it's a very informal process for trying to give expertise to address water quality concerns for debris cleanup. This waiver is an attempt to give clear expectations that if waste piles are created, that efforts will be taken to protect water quality, both surface and ground, and that there will be documentation until those areas are clean, closed, and sent, and there will be documentation for the actual landfills that receive the emergency waste.
So the other part of this, in my thinking, is what what effects, if any, are being created when we're battling fires? And are those efforts creating impacts to water quality separate and apart from just the burning of vegetation?
Yeah. This waiver does not address that issue, but I think it's something
and
that could be.
I understand that, and I'm just asking a question, stepping back 10 feet.
Maybe I can attempt to answer the question. There are undoubtedly impacts associated with firefighting activities. And it's kind of a balance that CAL FIRE and other firefighting agencies are going to have to make in protecting public property and, you know, human health, is that their first and foremost goal and objective is to control the fire and put the fire out. I think speculating and just a qualitative assessment, most of the impacts associated with that would be perhaps any residual fire retardants that perhaps subsequently washed into receiving waters, erosional issues, you know, associated with establishing fire lines using heavy equipment, manual, you know, labor as far as shovels. But one of the things that CAL FIRE does in large fires is after the fact is they go in and they have best efforts to implement management practices to stabilize those areas where there are high risks of potential erosion, you know, and water quality impacts. But again, that's something that, one, we don't necessarily have authority over as part of the emergency response for fires. And I don't think in our region in particular we've seen any really significant water quality impacts associated with kind of the aftermath of these fires, set aside some erosional and sediment issues, which become very, very difficult to address over large-scale areas of significantly burned, you know, forests and habitats.
Mr. Young, if I can add to that. So we have participated in the incident command in, for example, the Jesusita fire and the Tijas fire that Martin referenced down on the south coast. Dan Niles is a staff person who has traditionally participated with the incident command. It's we are not a first responder. You know, I think Matt alluded to that. But we do provide input to practice during fire response and post-fire response as the counties try to stabilize slopes. Let me back up and say that sediment load off fire sites is one of the huge issues water quality-wise. And so we try to participate and have a voice in how the waste is handled, how the water resources are protected historically with fires. The other reason this order was crafted was in acknowledgement of earthquakes were in the city of Watsonville, and Watsonville was hammered by the Loma Prieta earthquake. And as a result, there were immense amounts of waste generated at that point in time. And that was another consideration that we factored in when we were talking early in the development of this order, is the anticipation that we will have, like Santa Barbara or Watsonville, have big generating events like that in addition to the brush fires that the South Coast sees almost every year.
Okay, so just circling back to the flame retardant.
Yeah.
Do we know of any water quality?
I don't have an answer for you on that, and we can look into that.
Yeah. And I'm not suggesting it's inappropriate to use them. I just want to know, you know, we documented a negative effect from them. And is there something maybe we should be doing to remediate that somehow, if it's there.
Good morning. I'm Lisa McCann, section manager with the Water Board. Karen Wooster, our regional monitoring coordinator, has been looking into studies and information in other areas where that's being monitored and looked at, and has made us aware that flame retardants are causing some water quality problems in some areas. What's not yet happening in our region is that we haven't targeted funds and started actually monitoring extensively for that. We may have collected some data and done some sampling. I'm not 100% sure of that, but we haven't added it to our ambient monitoring, but we are aware that it's something to keep an eye on.
Okay, thank you.
And just as a little augmentation of information, a little over 2 years ago, there was a major fire near Santa Cruz on the Cal Poly Swanton Ranch, which is about 8,000 acres, and it's a demonstration forest, part of their forestry program. They actually had scientists from throughout the country come to the site and were looking at how the fire became used as a laboratory in how to better improve coordination between agencies, erosion. The ranch has quite a few streams which are still head habitat, and they actually used it to learn about how to address the fires. And the big issue, as pointed out, is certainly, you know, the sediment depositions into the streams. And part of the concerns also is how to address, you know, trees. Do you keep trees which appear to have been damaged by the fire? Do you cut them? Do you, you know, say, okay, we give you an extension on life? So it gets very, very complex. But this actually, you know, I can provide you a little bit of information. It was a foundation, a pretty significant study on forestry fires. And it was done. It included Fish and Wildlife. It included NOAA and a lot of other agencies.
Well, I'd like to talk to Karen at some point. It doesn't have to be at a board meeting, but you know, seeing as that we so infrequently get to the office, maybe we could set that up on the phone or something like that.
Noted.
At this time, do my colleagues have any other question specifically to this item? Comment?
Yeah, I just want to add, in looking at the way in which we've moved forward with this, I became aware that we are one of five regions now that have moved forward with this type of permit. So I think we're moving in the right direction, certainly.
I also want to acknowledge that staff doesn't know this yet, but one of the board members had suggested that we do alignment with the county, do some outreach effort so that they know this is in place and that they have knowledge that these are the practices or protections that need to be put in place when that event occurs.
Yeah, I'm the guilty one. I thought it's, you know, it's important to engage the county because ultimately, you know, a lot of these response, you know, are involving the county and having alignment within all the agencies is going to be critical. And each county has an office of emergency generally, you know, permanent staff. So, you know, my suggestion was to also engage the counties in this process. So at this time, any other comment, input from anyone?
I'll move that we approve or adopt order R3 2016-0001.
Okay. Any additional comments? Okay. So roll call, please.
And for clarification, this is item 8 only.
Correct.
Yes.
Thank you. Dr. Wolf?
Yes.
Dr. Hunter?
Yes.
Ms. Cervantes?
Yes.
Mr. Delgado? Ms. Gray?
Yes.
Mr. Johnston?
Yes.
Mr. Young?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. So did you have a chance to reflect?
Mr. Packard is approaching the mic, and he's going to tell us where we're at on item 7.
Hi, Harvey Packard. We got some. Item 7 is a rescission of waste discharge requirements for a winery in Carmel Valley. We got some emails this morning from representatives of the winery asking that the board not rescind those waste discharge requirements this morning. If there's a representative here, perhaps we could hear from that person about why before we take any further action.
Hey, good morning, board. My name is David Baird. I'm the winemaker for Folktale Winery. I appreciate Tom Kuchel's recommendation for the rescission of the waste charge order number 01-01070 to the small winery waiver. We do have plans to grow in the future. The former winery, Chateau Julien, which we purchased about a year ago, had a larger wastewater permit than what we're currently using. Our fear is that if we do increase our wastewater in the future, that we will have some challenges with receiving that permit again. So we just wanted to rescind that, the recommendation by Tom, and just keep the permit that we have currently.
Harvey Packard again. I understand what Mr. Baird is saying. However, the existing order is for Chateau Julien, which no longer operates at this facility. It's now Folktale Winery, which operates a smaller system, a different system. The old order doesn't apply to this discharge. The process that we're doing here is we have a general winery waiver and order that the board has adopted, and it's specifically designed for exactly these types of circumstances. However, we can't enroll Folktale in this until we rescind the old order. So that's the process we usually do. We bring a rescission to the board, and then the EO, under his delegation, that under the general order, enrolls the winery. So actually, Folktale is small enough that it falls under the waiver part of the general order. All I have to do is pay a enrollment fee. There's no annual fee. Their current facility would be covered under that waiver. If they expand in the future to a level that exceeds the waiver category, then they move into the general waste discharge requirements category, and it's still covered by the same order. They would move into higher monitoring requirements and an annual fee, but the order would still apply. It's a completely administrative process through the executive officer. So I think Mr. Baird's fears are a little bit unfounded. It's not a difficult issue at all. All they would need to do is give us an update about what their new system is or expected to do. We would write a letter from the EO explaining that that system is now covered by the general order with whatever new monitoring requirements might be appropriate. So I, with respect to Mr. Baird, I still think the board ought to rescind these waste discharge requirements. They're for a different party altogether. They don't apply to what's actually happening at the winery right now.
So a quick question that I have. When you have a change of ownership of a winery and the winery permits are being transferred through TTB, ABC, et cetera, does that transfer does not apply then to existing permits such as the winery waste discharge, such as the industrial stormwater permit requirements from the state board?
It doesn't automatically happen. The new owners are supposed to contact us and let us know of a change in ownership, which they've done. And normally we wouldn't have to reissue waste discharge requirements, but what's happening here is that the new system is completely different from what Chateau Julien was operating. So it's a smaller system. It's not the same wastewater system, so the old WDRs don't really apply. As far as whether the industrial stormwater enrollment automatically moves to the new party, I'm not sure about that. They probably have to submit another notification for that also.
But so So we're having two different treatment system?
Well, they had Chateau Julien had an older treatment system.
Right.
They're probably using the same facilities, but it's a much smaller flow, and the monitoring doesn't apply, for instance.
But let's say you know we're looking at the threshold of 10,000 case or less, right? Okay. So this year you produce 12,000 case, so then you're above, so then you have to have this permit. All of a sudden, you know, you have a readjustment to your, you know, to your market, and you throttle back the amount of wine that you produce. So, you know, the following year you say, well, I'm going to be 9,000 case because I have excess inventory. That doesn't seem to me, because you're reducing your production, that automatically says, well, you know, now this permit does not apply. You know, they're, you know, certainly if you're in the 200,000 case, you know, that doesn't make much of a difference. But if you're right at the margin of the, you know, the 10,000, a little bit below or above, it would seem to me that it's all based on how much, you know, how much you're sometime you have to adjust your production. I'm missing a point, perhaps.
Within the general order and waiver, there is that flexibility. Right now, that does not apply to Folktale Winery. They're not enrolled under the general order. That's what we're trying to get to.
Uh-huh.
By rescinding the old order that's 15 years old now, that was issued to Chateau Julien. So I'm not sure of what flows Folktale is planning on right now, but increasing in the future is not an issue with the general order.
Mr. Johnson?
Well, I was going to ask some questions about whether this is just a different system or different flows, but maybe it would be more appropriate to suggest that we table this item for a little bit and ask the representative of the winery and staff to chat and see if the problem goes away without us having to figure it out. Because it sounds like you guys are just starting to communicate on this, and that might obviate the need for us to spend a lot of time talking about it.
So I think that's a good suggestion, Chairman Wolf. And this issue literally just came up this morning. We started receiving emails about it this morning. So it's very live. We haven't had a chance to talk much.
Yeah, and you know, I know Dr. Hunter has a question too, but, you know, additionally, I support this because had this different you know, aspect come to light, maybe at the briefing, I would have asked other questions, which, you know, right now I'm a little off guard. So I think that's a wise suggestion, Dr. Hunter.
My question is, if I'm hearing correctly what Harvey described in terms of the status of the new ownership and operation and the prior ownership and operation. So the permit that we're talking about was issued 15 years ago to another entity. That permit is no longer active or live, correct?
Well, that entity is no longer operating at the facility, I guess you could
say.
So
does the current permit, as it is formally in place, does it apply to the new owners? Are they operating under the permit conditions, and are they complying with any monitoring or any other requirements under that prior permit?
As far as I know, they are complying with the old permit. When staff reviewed the permit, if we would determine that the current permit was adequate, we would simply have issued a letter to the new owner saying, fine, we'll transfer your permit coverage from Chateau Julien to Folktale, and that would not have been an issue. When staff reviewed the facility, they felt it was more appropriate to get coverage under the newer general order, and so that's what we proposed, and that's what Folktale had agreed to apparently until yesterday.
Okay, so there is, I guess my concern was that we would have an operation underway with no permit, so...
Well, They currently don't have any formal coverage because we never did issue that letter transferring coverage.
Okay. So what is the projected timeline for us to collect the new data and concerns of the winery, current winery owners? How soon do you think we could see this issue again?
My proposal was just that we put it further down the agenda today.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant to another
hearing. I don't think that would be helpful. I think we can resolve it right now. It's not that big of an issue. If the board decides not to act today, we will go back and have discussions with Folktale and figure it out. But we won't be able to. Staff, for instance, isn't here today that knows all the details of this. I wouldn't propose that we delay it for later today. I would either ask that the board rescind the old order or just not take any action.
I took Mr. Johnson's suggestion as moving this item to a later date, and I think there's a need for all of you to communicate a little bit more. And you know, I think it would give, as you mentioned, you know, staff a little more opportunity to engage. And since this is kind of a last minute email, I think in fairness, it doesn't sound like, you know, there is an emergency that we have to make a decision today. Would you agree with that?
Yes,
Mr. Roberts?
We can bring it back at July.
Yeah, so why don't we do that if all my colleagues are in agreement? Do you have a comment, Mayor Delgado?
Yeah, thank you. When it does come back, and Harvey, thanks for you and Tom, everyone's work on this. When it does come back, can you be sure to explain the differences in their system compared to the old system that warrant the update?
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm sure you would have anyway, but I just wanted to be sure I said that. Thanks.
All right. So the direction is to move this to an agenda at our next board meeting.